Good morning, everyone. Our prelude hymn today is Mighty Fortress, which I believe is 110 in your hymn books. Sunday school room with, I guess, the steamer and a bunch of other things, and finally got the border off the wall.
Oh, okay.
So now the rest of it can carry on. So we just, thank you so much.
Thank you. Leave the pantry.
Yeah. So that was really, really good.
So that room is getting in order.
Yes.
Step by step.
Well,
what's really
was
missing is a teacher
right.
Not named
Pastor's wife. God the Father, we thank you for being with us today, for bringing us these beautiful days that you have given us, beautiful sunrises in the morning. Sounds we could use some showers, so it sounds like we might get some this week. I'm sure you will give us what we are in need of. Be with Pastor David as he brings the message this morning that his words were being your words meant for us. And everyone here today would leave having received a blessing. And may God bless America. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Call to worship is on your insert. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of our seas.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
We come to worship, trusting in his unshakable power and steadfast love.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells.
We gather in his presence, where peace flows and hearts are renewed.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
We lift up our voices in praise, for the Lord is our strength and our song.
Come, let us all worship the God, who is our refuge, our strength, and our everlasting hope. Amen. Please stand for River of Peace.
Yep, it's on one of the sides of your insert, and this comes from verse 4 of the song from the invocation that we just read. It's time for our doxology.
Praise God.
thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have given to each one of us. The blessings that you've given us through our friends and our families and our careers, our lives with you. God, we just ask that you accept these small tokens, our tithes and our offerings back to you for your purpose and your kingdom. As always, we ask that you bless these funds, that you multiply them and you keep us ever mindful as to their proper use. God, be with us, give us peace, and grant us rest in your name. Amen.
Concerns and praises.
Well, as I said, surgery went well, the doctor said, and so she's doing, you know, best she can. Going to the doctor a lot. She'll go again Tuesday. And as I mentioned, my our first cousin passed, and we were blessed that she didn't linger on, because my oldest sister, who's in her upper 80s, was staying at the hospital with her, and it was just really draining her. So I had to go to the hospital and visit, and so Emma couldn't, of course. But anyway, so we did go see her, and she's, you know, with the Lord, and that our funeral's Tuesday. Oh, yesterday we went to funeral, and there, so Anna brought her, and she was in a wheelchair, but yeah, she walked around and seemed like she was doing good. I mean, she was upset, you know, from the funeral, but as far as her health, she seemed in pretty good spirits. I wanted to pass that on.
Do you have anything more on?
Yes, my grandson-in-law is doing very well. He's in remission, as I said. But he's lost peripheral vision in both eyes, and his right eye is worse. But it's not deteriorating anymore. But he doesn't like going out where there's a lot of people, because he can't see that side, and he's been bumping into him. And being a ex-truck driver with tattoos, people in Australia are always in a rush, and the men think he's being bolshy, and there's usually a row, so he doesn't like it. But the National Institute for the Blind have called him in and said that they will show him how to use a white stick that he must carry, and then people will keep out of his way. So, it's been a bit hard on him, but he's coping. Apart from that, he's been coping really well. So.
Just an update on that. I talked to him. He was trying to come to church this morning, but he tried to get in his, he did get in his truck the other day. He pulled some muscles, as I said. And he's getting on fine. I think he thought he was in better shape than what he is. And he told me yesterday he was trying to walk in the cemetery to get out and do something. But, he's doing a long way to
him. Have praise. Everybody's doing good.
Yay! I just caught the news last night and this morning, flooding in California. So, again, so I have to be with the flooding victims in California. I'll add a note to your crazy drivers from Australia. I told you I have a friend now from Australia with an IHRA. You told me to call him something. It's a hot rod association down there. And he's over here in America for quite a while. And it's a funny story. He was having a race at National Trails. So they was meeting with the state patrol. Pete goes, "What the heck's up with everybody stopping for school buses around here?" Oops. You know what I'm saying? I guess they don't do that. Wow. Everything's good your way?
Yep.
Mom?
So far, yes.
Good.
Blessed that I'm called yesterday, birthday, so we had a nice chat with him.
Great.
Yep, and we're talking to her at 4 o'clock today, so that's nice. And it was over the day after my birthday for an extra little birthday, and that was also nice. So, again, we would have, so we'll take it.
Good.
It's good.
Yes. Happy birthday, Dad.
Yes, it does.
Very good. Nothing else, we'll go to prayer at this time.
All right, let's pray. God, we just, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this family. We thank you for this church. Most of all, we thank you for you and who you are in our lives, the one who gives us peace and comfort, the one who gives us salvation. God, it's nice when our prayer time here is shorter rather than longer. We just ask that you continue to be with those who have had surgical procedures and events, be with as she continues to heal and as he tries to gain his strength back. And we just ask that you continue her healing so she could return back with us as well. God, we just ask that you are with all of the families of our friends and families who have lost loved ones over the past days or weeks or months. We know that the time immediately after the death and the funeral is surrounded with people and activity. God, I just want to lift those individuals up who have been mourning for 3 months, 6 months, a year or more. That's when holidays come around and the loved one is no longer there, or anniversaries or birthdays, the major milestones that we mark in our lives, and we realize that our loved one is no longer with us. And oftentimes our friends and families have moved on to their lives. I just pray that each one of us, that you would remind us of one of those people in our lives and just reach out. Phone call, a visit, a card, just to let them know that we are thinking of them, that we continue to pray for them, we continue to pray for their healing, we continue to pray that the good memories of the loved one continue to ring in their memories. God, loss is incredibly painful. We know it's coming. We know it's inevitable. What we don't know is the time. And the time always surprises us, even if our loved one has suffered with an illness, struggled for a while, it's still a surprise when they leave us. We just ask that you would be continuing with those families. Speaking love and memories into their remembrances of their loved ones. And again, I ask that you bring them to our mind that we may reach out to them and let them know that they are never forgotten from us or, more importantly, from you. Give us each a time of prayer each day. To pray for our country, to pray for our neighborhoods, our communities, our friends and our families, in this world that is hurting. A world that needs you. Even as we're tough and strong and we can do everything on our own, we know that's a lie of the enemy. We can't do anything on our own apart from you. God, as we sit in the quiet to pray, as always, we ask that you bring this simple prayer back to our memories. The prayer that leads us into a deeper and more profound relationship with you. The prayer that says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our prayer hymn today is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and that is also on your insert because it gives us the verses.
Our scripture reading today comes from Romans, which is Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul talks a lot about the Gentiles. Romans 15, verses 1 through 13. Unity for the Gentiles in Christ. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, as is written, "The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." I'll say that again. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by the steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I have to admit a little bit, I chose that particular verse because of the relevance to people getting along with one another in our society and the lack thereof. But mainly for that last verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I submit that that's about all we have left is hope. This morning, I'm a little congested. I apologize. Well, I am going to say something along those lines because she won't listen to this later. I can't get in trouble. I did realize that as much as, here's what happened. We all get this crud at the house. Like a good patient, Tammy reports it to her transplant team. They come back with, we want you to go to urgent care. I knew that's what was going to happen. So Tammy goes to urgent care and she gets swabbed every which way. If there was a swab, she got it. And of course, as our medical training has taught us, it all came back negative. But the beauty of that is I thought about it. I had all the same symptoms that she does. So she got all the swabbing, and I got the clean bill of health without ever having to do anything. So, thank you, transplant team. I have struggled, as I'm sure we all have, with some recent events, the news, the killings, the problems with our societies. And it led me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is a fairly short psalm. It's 11 verses. 46 is traditionally attributed to the sons of Korah, and it's divided into three stanzas, each marked by a shalah, which is a pause for reflection. It's a hymn of confidence likely written during a time of crisis, such as a military threat or natural disaster. Though no specific event is named. Some scholars connect it to the historical events like the deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrian siege. There's really three sort of major themes. The first one is God is refuge and strength in the first three verses. God's presence brings peace, in verses 4 through 7, and God's power overcomes chaos and conflict. Boy, if we don't need that right now, I don't know what we need. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, our everlasting present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I would encourage us to take time to read that short psalm every day. It encapsulates everything I think we're going through today. That God is our strength, that he has the ability and the power to overcome all of the problems, all of the wars, all of the killings that are occurring, and he will be with us. But then it leads itself into some, okay, then why not now? I don't know that. They need another several verses in that psalm to let us know why this isn't happening. And that points me to this morning's topic. All of the things that are contained in, I'm holding up my Bible right now, not my phone. All the things that are contained within the Bible require one thing. They require our faith. There's no, as I've said in the past, we don't get letters from God in the mail that says, okay, over the next week, this is what you can expect, and this is how you're to respond and react. We're not robotic. We're a people who have been given a gift through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, a gift of grace and mercy and resurrection and salvation. And in exchange, what it takes is our faithfulness. Faithfulness is a tough nut to chew on sometimes. But Psalm 46:1, we are reminded that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Life can feel like a winding road full of unexpected turns and steep climbs. Things seem to be going well, and then all of a sudden, life takes a turn, a jog, the road seems to be closed, you miss an exit that you were supposed to take, and you're in the wilderness. You don't know what to do, you don't know who to go to, you don't know what you're supposed to do, but all you do is you tend to look backward and think, where did I miss the sign? Where did I miss the turn, the break in the road? How did I get here? And why am I here now? The way we are to get out of that situation is to simply slow down, turn our faith back to God, and give him the ability to get us out of our troubles. We're to wait and listen for that quiet voice that whispers, "Keep going, you are enough." When we root ourselves in faith, we tap into the wellspring of courage that no challenge can dry up. We can never get in enough problems in our lives that God will give up and walk away from us. He promises that He will always be there. He is our ever-present in our times of trouble. Ever-present isn't when we think He's there. Ever-present isn't when He wants to be there. Ever-present is a statement of fact that He cannot be anywhere else but with you and with me. When He's not there, it's because we've walked away. We've turned our back. We've gone astray. We've gone somewhere else that He isn't there. And that's back on us to correct. He's looking for us. All we have to do is knock, and He will open that door back to you and to me. Think of a mustard seed, small and unassuming, yet capable of growing into something mighty. Your faith, no matter how small it feels today, has the power to move mountains. Hold fast to it, nurture it, and watch it bloom. Faith requires something that is tough sometimes for us to do, and that's resiliency. Don't give up. Keep going. The strength of resiliency. Consider the story of our friend Job, the man who faced unimaginable loss, yet never lost his trust in the divine plan. Job's story is one that I would love to think that I would respond like Job did. Always faithful, always knowing that there was a purpose, a reason for the loss that he continued to suffer, and knowing that his God was strong enough. Now that's the important part of the story, is that Job's faithfulness was always there. God's redemption is what is sort of the cherry on top of the sundae. He multiplied everything that Job had. He restored him and refreshed him. Now, I can't promise that God's going to do that in each one of our situations, but as we remain resilient and faithful to God, He promises that He will be there and He will lift us out of the mire and the problem. Each of us has faced the moments when we wanted to give up, seeming that it was easier than pressing on. But we are here today, breathing and hoping. That is no small thing. This is the triumph of the human spirit guided by grace. Resilience is like a river carving through stone. It doesn't force its way. It flows steady and persistent. When life feels heavy, remember that every step forward, no matter how small, is a victory. You are writing a story of perseverance, and every chapter makes you stronger. And the light of hope in Romans 15:13 declares, my passage for this morning, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is not a fleeting wish. Hope is a fire that cannot be extinguished. It is the belief that tomorrow can be brighter, that love will prevail, and that every ending is a beginning of something new. Again, not in an attempt to be political in any way. but you see the death of the young man, Charlie Kirk. A man that had faith. A man who was willing to stand toe-to-toe with the youngest generation, the generation of college students and high school students, and stand before them and do what oftentimes we don't want to do, answer their objections. These kids have issues, and they have a society that has been lying to them all of their lives. And finally, one man would meet them where they are, and he would say, "All of you who disagree, move to the front of the line." He wasn't there for agreement and acceptance. He was there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he lived and died serving. And what I've seen from his wife and his team is a continuation, a desire to say, you may have taken one, but you have multiplied his message. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand in front of the devil and say, I know you don't want me to be successful. I know you don't want me to win, but there is one who is stronger and more powerful and more righteous than you will ever be, and he is the one that I will serve until the day that I am no longer on this earth. Some of us leave earlier than others, and those are tragedies. But what's the message of our lives? Did we fight the good fight? Do we deserve to stand before God and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? It doesn't take miraculous events like what Charlie Kirk did. We don't have to go to college after college after college. Most of us aren't prepared to live that life. He was extraordinarily gifted, and he prepared himself from the time that he was young because he knew what he wanted to do. He knew the person that he wanted to be. And we know the people that we want to be as well. We want to be servers of the light of Christ. And whether that's writing cards to those who are suffering and in pain, whether that's making a meal and taking it to somebody who needs to hear the love of Christ, those are all gifts that Jesus wants all of us to use for the glory of God. That's the idea in Scripture, that we're not all hands or we're not all feet. The body of Christ is made up of many individual pieces, all working together to share the light of Christ to those who live in a darkened world. And the only way that we can do that is by living with faith. A faith that we don't understand, a faith that doesn't seem to make sense at some times, but a faith that we are promised that if we live by it, we will be successful in the light of God. We might not have riches, we might not have wealth, we might not have popularity, we might not have success as the world defines it. But when this all goes away, the successes of the world are insignificant, are unimportant. Yes, we need to be able to live comfortable. We need to be able to pay bills. We need to be able to put food on our tables. And there may be times when you know people that are struggling with that very thing. And God bless you if you have the resources to help where others are failing, where they're struggling, where they can't pay their mortgage, where they can't put food on their table. They need some help. They need somebody to take them to the grocery store and buy some stuff. What a message of the glory of God's kingdom when we reach out and we do those kinds of things for our friends and our neighbors. And oops, sorry to add this, our enemies. Because it's easy for us to reach out to the neighbor that we've known for 40 years who might be falling on some hard times. Maybe they have some medical bills that they can't cover. Those are the easy ones. But we all have those people in our lives that irritate us. They might even be downright mean. When we reach out and minister through love to those individuals in our lives, it sends a message to the world that these people are different. These people who serve that God that we hear about, that we have discounted because we've been told he's unimportant, these people reach out on his behalf. And they don't do it because of any glory that they want, but so they can share that the Savior that they follow encouraged me to do this. Because that's the message of Jesus. Again, we can't stray from the fact that in the New Testament, Jesus hung out with all of the people who were losers of the society. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the people were the ones who, the Samaritans, the ones who were the worst of the worst, that the religious right, the religious base would walk on the other side of the street as to not come in contact with such losers of our society. We have a lot of people right here in Morrow County who are struggling, who are hurting, who are in pain. And one of the things that I think God is asking, I know that God is asking from this church and from all churches and from his church that call him Lord and Savior, is to reach out and to minister. I don't know what that looks like. I would love to talk about it. I would love to get a plan. I would love to pray about it. I would love to get the opportunity to have something that we can offer. Because I know the pain is real and the suffering is real in this community. I know Seniors on Center deliver meals on a weekly basis to some who are really struggling. Some of the houses are falling apart. I get a call weekly about bed bug situations in the county. What can we do? How do we help? I would just ask that we begin as a church to pray, to rest on our faith. The faith that we know is strong enough to help us come to some ideas, some plans, some process, that we can reach out and help those who are hurting. Because in Scripture, when we're encouraged to help, we're encouraged to help locally. And then as we successfully have that taken care of or started, we begin to open up that reach. Not only that, but the people that we help locally will oftentimes leave us and go and help in other communities. I don't know what any of this looks like, but I know that there's one place that is asking for our help. You could say that the church has lost its effect and reach in a community, but I guarantee you one thing. Every time somebody drives up and down 95, they notice that there's a church here. They might not believe, they might not want to attend. But when struggle and trouble start in their lives, I promise you, that one of the first places they think about is their local church. And I hope and I pray that we can become that place that, although maybe small, maybe huge, I don't know, but people will see our hearts. People will know that we love because we have first been loved. That we know who gives eternal life. And we don't want to hoard that. What we want to do is we want to share that with our friends and our neighbors and strangers and enemies. Because that's who God wants us to talk to. We can become overwhelmed when we watch the television with things that are going on in large towns across the United States. The shootings, the killings. I don't know what to do about those. But maybe God would have us do something here. And then maybe lead us into a greater plan, a bigger vision. I don't know. But all I know is I'm frustrated with myself and with life, watching the television, the events that are occurring around us. And watching a 31-year-old man take a bullet because he was doing what God had called him to do, without fear for his life, because he had faith. He had faith the size of a mustard seed that could move mountains. And I know that this congregation has that same level of faith. So whether it's individually or whether it's corporately, I ask that we all begin to think about some of the things that we might be able to do in our community to reach out and to help those who are hurting. Because we know where they're here. We can either bury our heads and assume that it's not really as bad in our communities. And I'm not speaking Chesterville specifically, but certainly Morrow County. Because our faith will keep us moving forward into the fight, into the battle, into the fire that the enemy surely has planned for us. But again, like we said last week, we read the end of the book. He loses. And it's time for myself to figure out some way to be victorious on an everyday basis, standing for the God that has sacrificed everything for me, so that I can have eternity with Him, and has given me the faith and given you the faith to stand up and be counted in this world that is hurting. And the really good news is we don't do this alone. God will be with us. God will walk with us. God will protect us, although that doesn't mean that ultimately we're all going to pass at some point. But it's through His strength and in His power that we have the ability to see our friends and our neighbors through His eyes and listen to them with His ears and help them with His hands. Will you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You and we ask that You restore our faith,
on a daily basis. Give us your strength. Give us your ability to plan. Give us your ability to walk into the fire. Let us be the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of the New Testament. Let us walk into the flames. Let us go where the devil is wanting us to stay away from. Because your presence is too powerful, too glorious, and too wonderful. Let us take that message to the hearts and the minds of those who are suffering, who are struggling. Let us share with them the light of Christ. We ask all of this in your precious name. Amen.
I'm going to follow up on what Pastor David's talking about this morning.
Oh, I think we got the power going.
Remember when we left, we're going to start a new church. Word throughout the community was they're going to close that church. And the community was, what are we going to do if they do close that church? What are we going to do? You may not see those people here this morning or any Sunday morning, but this community doesn't want to see this church. So we need to get on board with what Pastor David's talking about this morning. See how we can be an outreach to our community. The job's out there for us to do with God's help. Okay.
Higher plane than I have found.
Now let us go in his faith, in his knowledge, in his acceptance. Take his message to those who are hurting in this world, and do so with his love and his mercy. Amen.
Amen.